Hello and welcome to week 33 of Foot Weekly. It's a particularly good one. We're right on the verge. It's the dawn, the kind of anticipation phase. We've had the big announcement and Jamie at Foot underscore Economist is here to speculate with me about what we've just seen from EA.
How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, not bad, Jamie. Have you had a good week so far?
I have had a good week so far.
I mean, by week, I mean day, because it is Monday after
day, week, yeah, same thing.
And yeah, it's looking quite interesting. We've just seen the sort of teaser from EA, but it's not so much of a teaser, is it? It's quite detailed.
It was quite detailed, yeah. We've got a whole slew of information. Very exciting.
And what kind of stands out? I suppose they've said that it's going to start on Friday, the 12th.
Yeah, why don't we just sort of go through like what we know, and then I suppose after that we'll get into sort of what we can speculate based on that. Essentially, they've came out. We're recording this on Monday, so on Monday they released this this teaser. They did the graphic, and then they linked us to a site that's got a whole bunch of information on it. And on that site, we know that it was confirmed that Team of the Season Most Consistent, or as they call it, the Community Team of the Season with the Gold, Silver, and Bronze teams. Is going to drop on Friday, May 12th. I'm assuming that's going to be a 6 p.m. drop as usual. They're also told us that there's going to be a 24th Team of the Season player, which we are going to be able to get, similar to what they did last year through the daily knockout qualifier tournaments that I'm assuming you're going to have to win in order to get that team, or that player rather.
Yeah.
They also said that that player is not going to be available in SBCs, in packs, and they said it's not going to be available on the transfer market either, meaning that I would assume that that player is also going to be untradeable once you get him.
Mm-hmm.
That should be really, really interesting. We have some speculation to go along with that later, but that's going to cause a whole bunch of rather intense feelings around FIFA that's similar to what we have on weekend leagues.
I think loss in weekend league is not great. But a loss in weekend or in a tournament final, for example, where it may well be your last attempt to get that Team of the Season player who you can't get in any other way, that is going to cause some very, very frustrated players, I think. But yeah, probably stay off Twitter for those couple of days. But apart from that, what else do we know from this announcement?
Sure. Yeah. So we've got another thing called the Team of the Season Bonus Reward SBC, as they're calling it. Similar to FUT Birthday, it's daily, they're not daily SBCs, but they're going to be weekly SBCs dropping every Tuesday during Team of the Season. There are going to be six of them, and then when they drop on Tuesday, players will have 72 hours to complete the SBC. And if they complete all of the SBCs, the reward is going to be an ultimate pack, which is going to guarantee a Team of the Season item. Just for those of you that have been keeping up, there was something that we found in the code, or the database code, I think 2 or 3 days ago, it was on like a Friday or something like that, that was talking about an ultimate pack with a guaranteed Team of the Season item. I suspect that this reward for completing all six of the SBCs is the pack that we saw in that code. So it's not going to be something that we can buy on the store or something like that, some weekend league reward that some people were speculating it would be. Another thing to note about this is it's going to be untradeable, which is sort of what we'd expect, but it's also just something to keep in mind when you're completing the SBCs. You have to decide for yourself if the SBC is going to be worth it. I assume it's going to be just similar to what they did on FUT Birthday, whereas you're trading in very little and then getting a pretty hefty reward, 125k pack at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be something that all players will expect. You would expect sort of every player will be able to complete it, if you like.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just a matter of keeping up with it and staying active, and you'll probably get a pretty solid reward for it. We also know that they're going to be doing Team of the Season Upgrade SBCs, as they call them. So they're going to continue the untradeable 84-plus Team of the Week SBCs, as well as the 82-plus rated player packs, but one thing that they're changing is that they're adding league specific upgrade SBCs, which I think we saw them earlier in the year.
Yeah, during Team of the Year, I think.
Team of the Year, yeah.
Yeah, so they basically guarantee you players from the league that they're associated with. So that's actually quite good around Team of the Season. Say, like, there's the Calcio at Serie A Team of the Season, for example. You'll be able to get a specifically Calcio Serie A pack, which includes guaranteed players from that league, which does actually kind of massively increase your chances of getting a player from the team of the season, if that's the team of the season that's out at that time. So that's quite a good little one. They are untradeable, though, so obviously, again, you're locking away coins if you do that. But.
Right, yeah. But I suspect those will be pretty good value for value for
you
money.
Often see quite good stuff out of those on Twitter, actually.
Mm-hmm. But then the big takeaway from these team of the season upgrade SBCs, as they're calling them, is that they're going to release a tradable version of the 84 plus team of the week SBCs, where you can get I'm assuming they're going to change the requirements to having to turn in a number of special cards, probably some mid to high rated team of the week packs or team of the week cards rather. Maybe two or three or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can get any team of the week item and it's guaranteed to be over 84 rated. So that's something that's definitely very, very interesting and something that's going to, I think, even push the prices up of 81 through 87 rated, these SBCs in general, 81 through 87 rated players are going to bump up even more.
And do you think, do you think that those will have to require Team of the Week items? Because surely otherwise we're just going to see a flood of Team of the Week items. Because
I would suspect it'd be a mid to high rated Team of the Week item, maybe one or two of them, or two or three of them rather, that you would have to turn in. So
yeah, interesting. Yeah,
it's definitely some investing that could go along with that.
Yeah, and in terms of the Team of the Week, obviously that's, you know, not quite as exciting as the Team of the Season. So do you think there is a chance of Team of the Season kind of SBC still, or is that kind of going to be discounted now because that extra player is going to be for the Daily Knockout Tournament?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other things that they talked about. I mean, they said all this plus a lot more starts on May 12th. So maybe they throw some sort of curveball, but I suspect if they were going to do Team of the Season SBCs, that they would have told us. Like, that would have been sort of like a headline sort of, we're also doing Team of the Season SBCs sort of thing. So I guess we're not going to see Team of the Season SBCs.
Unless they want to create a bit of uncertainty for investors, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
if they'd said that, you would have guaranteed a lot of people suddenly rush in to buy special cards and things. But
at the same time, you'd also suspect from like a marketing standpoint that you would, if you were going to do Team of the Season SBCs, that you would sort of talk about it in this sort of press
I mean, I wonder whether they think there are going to be other opportunities to use SBCs in the same way as they did for the Foot Birthday SBCs. Because, I mean, you've got Footies on its way at some point. Those are items chosen by the community, which are given boosts for absolutely no reason. A bit similar to Foot Birthday, but they're selected by they're voted on from a shortlist. So that could provide the opportunity to do those kind of player-based SBCs. And I suppose what they really want people to be doing is buying packs over this period. Like, they're not so interested in, you know, it is a big money earner period for them. So I don't know whether they'd be too keen to kind of make it so obtainable to get these Team of the Season items.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Some other things that we should take away from this announcement, obviously they're going to be doing lightning rounds. They said that they were, you know, going to do lightning rounds in the release. And they also said that a number of you have noticed that the Bundesliga has released, similar to what they've done in years past, on their website where you can vote for the 11 players that you think should be in the Bundesliga Team of the Season. They've done that in years past, but apparently this year, for the first time ever, the 11 players voted by the fans for the Bundesliga Team of the Season will feature in the Ultimate Team of the Season that is going to be released for the Bundesliga. So we can, you know, definitely go check out the EA's Twitter and the Bundesliga Twitter, because you can go find the link where you can actually go and vote for the players that you think should make it into the Team of the Season. Now, I assume that those 11 players that we're voting for are, you know, obviously they're going to be in the Team of the Season, the one that win the vote, but the other 12 players or so that EA are going to fill in, plus the SBC player for the Bundesliga, I think EA will probably decide for themselves, or will be decided by Bundesliga
themselves. Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, we were saying when you go through, there are some notable kind of absentees that you can't vote on, and just because they're not in that list as you go through, don't think that player won't get in the Team of the Season, because the other players are selected by EA, not by the Bundesliga, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that's probably something worth noting. Basically, Socrates still has a chance of getting one, if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, he's not there. he's not in there, which was a heartbreaker for me. And for you too, didn't you say you got a untradeable goalkeeper or something like
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, that had a yeah. Let's not talk about that. I got an 84 in my 84 plus team of the week SBC. I got Inform Berkey, who's yeah, not great, but he is. You know, you can connect link him up with Socrates. I think he's the only strong link keeper to Socrates. So you know, every cloud, as they say. So I think it's probably time to move on to the effects on the market in this kind of particularly interesting period for foot. I think you have a few thoughts on it, actually, don't you? As you'd expect, of course, being the foot economist. anything else, we'd be slightly disappointed. But there's some particularly interesting kind of aspect to this, which is next week we've got the tournament, which you need to win to get yourself that team of the season most consistent player. And I think that that could be very, very interesting indeed, because you can only use 8 gold players. So three other players in that squad have got to be bronze or silver players. Right. And that's timed very nicely with the most consistent team of the season, because that has a silver bronze squad as well. So those players are obviously going to be at a premium, because they'll be useful for that. And they'll also be useful because they're a requirement for the weekend league that week as well. So you basically can use the same team you've used in the knockout tournament that week to play in the weekend league. But again, you need 3 silver or bronze players in your starting 11, which is very interesting indeed. I mean, obviously silvers have taken a big jump after the announcement of that requirement, but could we see even an even bigger rise on all players maybe?
Yeah, it's possible. I think that 1 silver players could jump up even more. It's also going to put, I think, even more of a premium on the silver players that are going to be released in the team of the season most consistent silver sort of release. And then also, we were talking about this earlier, but the team of the Football League team of the season, if they happen to drop that next Wednesday, that could be something interesting. Although, in years past, they usually wait a week to release another team of the season before releasing Wednesday team of the season releases. For those of you that don't know, usually I do Wednesday releases of team of the seasons for smaller leagues and then the big leagues on Friday. Anyway, but yeah, like you said, also I think the regular cards, regular sort of high-end cards, could also sort of rebound quickly in the near future, because people are going to need to make competitive teams so that they can compete in this knockout challenge. And you know, in order to be competitive, obviously they're going to need to buy good players, but team of the season less consistent usually isn't something that is going to entice people to open up a ton of packs. So there isn't going to be the sort of balancing effect that we're going to see later in later weeks, where you're going to have some of the heavier hitting team of the season leagues coming out. So look for sort of a rebound on some of the higher end players, especially after today. Which is, you know, a lot of people, there's people that sort of are living under a rock and don't really know that team of the season is coming. They've sort of peeked out under the rock and they've seen that team of the season is coming at the end of this week. And we've seen that a lot of cards have actually taken a pretty substantial hit in the past, you know, 4 or 5 hours of recording this. Guys like Ronaldo have dropped 30K. Messi's dropped 50K. You know, Dybala, the 91 rated Dybala, has dropped like 65K. There's a lot of cards that have taken pretty substantial hits. It is interesting to note that some of the higher end cards, like that have really, really low card weight, guys like Vieira and Del Piero, the striker Ronaldo, haven't really moved. I think that's just something interesting to consider. I think I have this sort of theory that the people that are holding those cards are generally more in tune with what's happening in FUT in general.
Yeah.
Which is why it's possible that those guys haven't taken a hit, because they would have sort of already been ready to liquidate beforehand, or for those guys, money really isn't an object. Like it isn't really a problem. Yeah, so they don't really care if they're going to drop anymore. So they're just going to hold on to them sort of no matter what, because they're in their end game teams anyway. So that's something to consider. There's a bunch of other market sort of things to consider. We were talking about earlier how the 84 plus team of the week packs are now going to be tradable. That's particularly interesting because, I mean, as you guys know, the current SBC that's giving guaranteeing an untradeable 84 plus, while that is interesting for the 83 to 87 rated players, I suspect that if it's going to be tradable, they're going to make a requirement to have mid to high tier rated informs, which is something that you should definitely consider investing in, because a lot of them, for example, Dost, He's got like a slew of 84 or like 85 to 87 rated informs are still pretty low. And I suspect that if you're, you know, quick enough while listening to this, that you can go and invest in some of those guys and make some tidy profit once that does get announced.
And it'll be interesting to see whether they include any requirements for other special items. So many items have hit discard, which are, you know, like your E-Man of the Match, European Man of the Match, your
Team of the Knockout Stage.
A lot of them
hit really low prices.
Yeah. And you wonder whether some of those might be thrown into the mix just to, I don't know, prop those up a little bit. Because it just seems crazy having all those cards just sitting there. But I don't know, EA didn't do anything with the Movember cards for a long time. So you can't really bank on that for sure. And informs always seem to be the safe option.
And yeah, and sort of going along with that, one other thing that you could sort of keep in mind is for the weekly SBCs that they're going to be doing for the Ultimate Team or the Ultimate Reward Pack at the end, they could require some of those discard Team of the Group Stage, Team of the Knockout Stage cards. I know there's a couple of them that have gotten down to, you know, near discard, and they're like 84, 85 rated. So that's just something to keep an eye on. It never really hurts to pick up discard investments like that, and it could be something good to pick up. So.
Yeah, I think especially as a lot of people will be hesitant to invest coins just because they want to be able to buy those Team of the Season players. So you might find you can, kind of win through on a few of those just because certainly people aren't looking to invest quite so much. Talking of which, another thing going under the radar in terms of investments is Player of the Month, which we'll talk about later. Let's go back and talk quickly about the tournament, because obviously the requirements, you've got those three probably silver players that people are going to be using in their squads for the Daily Knockout tournament to win that Team of the Season player and for the Weekend League as well. Obviously those players are actually going to be, I mean, potentially quite expensive, those three players that people are putting in. They're going to be willing to pay a fair amount of coins, you would have thought. And that most consistent team, Silver certainly, has a few players that I think people will be interested in getting into their squads. So we had a quick look and kind of had a think about who we'd like to put into our squads. And we looked at it. Bear in mind that this is already a confirmed squad. You can view it on the forums. And to be honest, I think there were just two players that would actually have been useful. There's only two players and they're both French. One of them is in left back, Hernandez, and he's in the La Liga, which is actually quite useful. But the other guy, I believe, wasn't he in the Belgian Pro League? I think he was, wasn't he?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and
he's French, so.
Yeah, he's French, so they're both French. He had some quite interesting stats on him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did 80 strength already on his non-inform card, which is really solid. Well, obviously he's not informed because this is the team that sees the most consistent, so they all don't have informed, but he's got 80 strength and he's got, I think, 79 long shots, which is already pretty incredible for a silver card.
Yeah, that is really good. I think his name is Mate, just to clear up. Yeah. I don't think we mentioned his name. And he had a medium defensive work rate, low attacking, which I always think is quite underrated. So he should hold his position quite well. The left back, Canadas, I think he was quite big actually, wasn't he? At 6 foot or something.
6 foot, and he had medium work rates, which is unusual for left backs.
And both of those should be fairly easy to get into a team. And as we mentioned briefly, obviously the possible release of the Football League Team of the Season would also have some silver players which could actually be used in those tournaments and the Weekend League. So yeah, interesting stuff. Worth keeping an eye on those players if you see them for a reasonable price. On the Friday, there's a possibility that it'd be worth snapping them up. People might not realise that they're going to be very useful the following week. And apart from that, I think we're probably ready to move on to a kind of question that a few people have been asking recently. How and when should people... I don't know about how. Probably time to move on to a question that quite a few people have been asking recently. When's kind of the best time, do you think, to open packs? It's quite a kind of personal preference kind of thing. But I mean, if we're talking purely in monetary terms, when do we think that the best return would be?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of had this like... this sort of pack opening monetary philosophy that I sort of stand by. And the first is that if you're like a decent enough weekend league player, probably finishing around gold 3, gold 1, or something in that range, it's a bonus if you're above that. But I would say that the best sort of bang for your buck is, in terms of buying FIFA points, is to put them into a draft and then play out the draft and, you know, open the rewards that you get from those packs. The second most valuable, and this was sort of an interesting one, I think in terms of just, it's not as exciting, but opening up premium or promo silver packs, if and when EA do release them, I think is going to be a very good sort of value for money sort of deal. Just because with, you know, you'll have a pretty high chance of, a decent enough chance of getting the silver cards. And I think opening them up during the Football League Team of the Season or any of the Wednesday releases of the Team of the Season will probably be your best bet on when to do those specifically. But just because of the league SBCs and all the other SBCs like the European Tour and, you know, the other things that they have, that a lot of silver players, even if they aren't in the Team of the Season, are going for a fair amount of coins. So that's just something to keep in mind. And then in terms of when to open up all those packs, I know a lot of you guys have been doing league SBCs and other SBCs to try and stack up your packs and saving your weekend league reward packs and stuff like that. I would say not to open them up during the Team of the Season most consistent. Obviously, that isn't really the best time to open them. I would save them until some of the heavier hitting leagues that come out, maybe on the Friday. And I know, Ben, you had an interesting philosophy about when you wanted to open up your packs. It's sort of cynical, but I do agree that it could be something that's like worth more.
So yeah, what we're kind of saying is you might be better off opening your packs before Team of the Season, but in reality, everyone knows you're not going to do that. And we definitely don't blame you for doing so. And I think on that note, it's time to move on from this very interesting topic. And we're going to chat very briefly before a little break about Foot Champions. I put out a poll actually on Twitter and asked people whether they would like to hear more about Foot Champs on the podcast. A lot of you said yes. A lot of you said yes, only if other content wasn't cut as a result, which is fair enough. So what we'll do is try and include a little bit more and see how that goes down. I haven't been following it too much myself, and I did enjoy watching the final though this weekend, which was quite intense because Guerrilla, who sort of pretty much everyone knows, he's multiple time champion of all the various competitions that have happened over the years. He's a pretty good player, and he's quite experienced.
Pretty good, yeah.
He's not bad. Like, I mean, I back myself against him, but he's not bad. Yeah, so he came through the lower bracket, which is kind of like the loser bracket, to beat the person in the higher bracket. But one of the reasons why he won that was because in the penalty shootout in that game, his opponent tried to Panenka the winning penalty, and Guerrilla saved it, which meant that it was forced to a second game, which Guerrilla then won. And as a result, that meant that he played the winner of the sort of PlayStation side of that particular regional, which was the Madrid regional. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this was that so far there've been, I think, 5 tournaments or something, and every time the Xbox player has won.
Right.
So going into it, you'd expect Guerrilla to basically quite comfortably win out. Both of them said they didn't play, have not really played much on the other console. I don't think it makes too much difference, to be honest, having used both consoles over the years. But the thing that does make a difference is the actual teams. Obviously, you've got Legends on Xbox, whereas when they're playing on PlayStation, they can't have Legends. So that meant that a lot of people were forcing Legends into their teams in other finals going into this situation. But what the guy did, who won the PlayStation side, a guy called Principe, I think his name is, which means prince in Italian. Basically, he didn't change his team at all. So he went in with the same team that he'd been playing with on PlayStation and had obviously brought him success. He had a lot of players, which you wouldn't expect to see at this kind of event. He had players like Dybala, which is very rare. You basically always see Ronaldo, Messi, etc. And he went with this team, which was kind of, I don't know, you wouldn't expect to do well against a team with like Legends and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, he managed to by half time be 2-0 up, and this was on his away console, so on the Xbox. And then in the final half of the game, he actually ended up conceding 2. So it was a draw after the first game, and then in the second game, it's kind of like a 2-leg encounter. He ended up winning on his home console 4-1, so comfortably in the end beating a guy who is kind of at the top of the Xbox game, if you like, and one of the more respected members of the community, and recently partnered with Unilad.
I
don't know whether that's the thing. Is that the thing in the States as well? I think
not really. I mean, a lot of people I know follow their Twitter account because they post funny stuff on there.
So yeah, that's an interesting move. And yeah, I think that's pretty much all there is to say, other than it just kind of demonstrates, like, stick to your guns. Like, yeah, what, exactly. What you know is often the best way. I know you've stuck with a team for a long time, haven't you? Exactly. A similar team.
Yeah, no, I firmly believe that experience with your team and knowing your team, sort of having those twitch reactions and sort of knowing where all your players are going to be is a huge, huge factor in how well you play. For those that follow me know that I use Higuain and Icardi as my two strikers, 94 Higuain, probably going to be the 95 pretty soon. I'll upgrade as soon as this price drops, and then the 89 Icardi, which is an odd combination for anyone that plays competitive FIFA, but I've managed to get, you know, elite and a couple or one game off of Elite 2 a couple times. So, you know, whatever works, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, as you were saying, it's really undervalued. And a lot of people, like, tend to, like, get annoyed when they're losing and change their teams. And I think that can often actually have a sort of reverse effect on
exactly.
What you'd recommend.
Exactly.
Both of them go through to the grand final in Berlin. So it was for the prize money of £30,000 or $30,000, I think it was. Big money to professional FIFA players. It was, yeah, interesting to see, and actually a very good game, the last two matches of that tournament, which, you know, goes against some of the negativity that I've I've had for the esports FIFA mode. But I mean, one of my biggest problems is how kind of narrow these pro players play. Like, some of them use a wide formation, but it's so condensed and compact. Like, it is slightly frustrating to watch at times, but at least in the final we saw a bit more excitement.
It is very, one thing I will say about the gameplay is it's very direct. It's very, like, if you compare that to what they play in the game was like FIFA Interactive World Cup, where you're not using Ultimate Team players and you're just using the season's teams. Compared to that, it's very direct. It's all about scoring more goals than your opponent. Obviously defense is important, but you'll see that most of the time the good defenders are the ones that can defend like 2v4 situations well, because you'll see that all the time. You'll just have like a wall of attackers going against like Koulibaly or like Smalling and Ferdinand, and that's like, all right, can you defuse this attack?
Yeah, I wonder whether that's partly because of how effective the AI is defending. So if you're throwing a load of players at an opponent, then you're more likely to be, you know, broken down.
Sort of, and it's, overwhelm it.
Right. I imagine it's like really hard to break down like someone who's good at defending because of the AI. Yeah. Like, positioning is so good. You would have thought it was actually quite difficult to break down a pro player. So maybe you kind of have to kind of push on.
Overwhelm, throw everything at him. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. One other thing, I just, before we move on, I think that would be a huge step forward for esports, for FIFA in the esports arena, would be if and when they finally get Legends on PS4. I know it's like sort of this odd sort of dynamic that they have going right now, where you have to change up your teams and switch up your teams, switch console, play against different with a different controller. I think if they finally got Legends on PS4, then it would just take some sort of adapter or something like that.
Yeah,
you could have each player use their home, like their regular teams, and then just use their regular controllers, and you could have sort of like an actual grand champion where it wasn't decided by these sort of odd factors if they're comfortable with a controller or whatnot.
Yeah.
Comfortable with
the
team.
I think on the other hand, though, maybe it's not the most significant part, because like, it is only the final game. There's kind of two tournaments going on, I suppose, simultaneously, and then it's just kind of like a prestige game at the end for an extra $10,000. So maybe it doesn't bother them so much. And the other thing that I noticed is in the Twitch chat, there's just millions of 13-year-olds spamming like Xbox is the best. PlayStation is the best. So I think it gets like a bit of attention on the whole thing, a kind of added level of tribalism, which maybe
that's
some
something
kind
looking
of
for.
Exactly. I wonder whether there is some benefit to it actually. And so I mean, one other thing which I think would bring the coverage that EA were doing up to the next level, so maybe a bit more kind of technical analysis. I don't know whether you've watched it before, but maybe they have three people doing presenting stuff. They've got Chewboy, they've got Spencer, this is Spencer as in of hashtag United, and also I think Jimmy Conrad, so ex professional footballer. And I just wonder whether it needs a really, really top pro player or someone who has good knowledge of the tactics that people use or employ in these kind of situations, because there was quite a lot of I don't know, interesting things you might notice, you know, someone switching onto high pressure or whatever during a game, but it wasn't really pointed out, and there wasn't really much talk of why people were choosing certain tactics. They didn't tend to interview the people. They didn't tend to ask them very detailed questions about the kind of tactical side of things or the way they were planning to approach a certain game. They did ask them, but the questions weren't very direct. And you want someone to come and kind of do the kind of chalkboard analysis like you have on Sky Sports, because those things are actually really popular even amongst your kind of everyday fan. They are things which people enjoy listening to. They're things that everyone kind of likes. And I'd quite like to see that introduced, because I think that would kind of bring the coverage onto the next level and make it kind of, I think it would draw out the complexities of FIFA. You know, there is more to FIFA than just being an arcade, ping it up the pitch and score a goal. Like, there's more to it. Why not highlight that? I don't think it would be a bad thing. I don't think it would detract from anything. And I think it would bring in some people who were wanting to learn more about how they can improve their game as well.
Right, yeah. It would sort of bring in an audience that, you know, I know that personally I watch the games for the purpose of, you know, making myself better at FUT Champs. You know, and if I were to get, you know, sort of the live reaction of the pro players as they're doing it, and sort of why they're doing it, the tactics that they do employ, I think that would add value for me as someone that's, you know, a hardcore FIFA player himself. And I don't think it would detract from, you know, the regular viewer. I know that's who they're mainly trying to appeal to, which is why they have the sort of stock regular football commentators over the actual games themselves. But I think, you know, at halftime or after the games, if they could add even more analysis, I think, to your point, would be a good idea.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do watch it to pick up some tips. I think it'd be really good to have that kind of slant on FUT Champions. But I think that probably ends this part of the podcast. So everyone can come back and join us in just a second, where we'll be talking about the team of the week. We'll have some player reviews, but we'll also be doing your post. So we'll respond to some of your tweets, and Jamie will have some interesting responses lined up, I'm sure. So welcome back to the second half of FUT Weekly. It's been a well-earned break, and we got through a lot of stuff, but there's plenty more to do in the second half. We spent a lot of that break talking about a very interesting question from a guy called Chris, who emailed in. You can also email in at FUT Weekly. Sorry, that's the Twitter. You can also email in footweekly@mail.com. His question was about basically ranking the different factors that create a player's value. Basically, it's quite an interesting topic, definitely one for you, Jamie, but we're gonna crack straight on into the Twitter questions and probably cover that when there's not things like the team of the season on the cards, which we need to kind of get most of.
We could spend an entire podcast talking about
exactly players, right? It's a very interesting topic, but one that we'd like to kind of justify with a bit more time. So on to the Twitter questions. I think we've covered a few of them already. Mo Hassan at No Man 42 has a couple of interesting questions about team of the week players and their value over the coming team of the season period. I think we've kind of sorted him out, so that's fine. In terms of 83 and 84 rated players though, Carlo underscore 86 underscore has asked, are the 83 and 84 rated players, because they're required for the team of the week SBC, of course, are they going to drop in price over the next week or so?
So that's a good question. It's definitely going to depend on, I mean, obviously they're going to hold a certain value. They're not going to, you know, drop down to discard as team of the season comes around. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to see them fluctuate up and down with the release of really any team of the season, and especially the larger team of the seasons. As people open those packs, there'll be certainly times when they drop down while people are opening up a bunch of packs and then just listing them to try and open up more packs, essentially.
Yeah.
So
another question, kind of team of the season related. Swiss Chicken HD, friend of the podcast, asks about team of the season player prices, basically. What's your kind of prediction for the high-rated team of the season players? Someone like Griezmann, his team of the season last year was like 500k. Could we kind of really see prices like that again?
I think it's sort of optimistic to hope for someone like Griezmann to get a team of the season that's 500k. I think what's going to happen this year, just because people are generally more coin-rich this year, just with weekend leagues and the amount of trading that you can go on, there's this upper echelon of FIFA players are going to have substantially more coins than last year heading into team of the season, meaning, and sort of combining that with the fact that people want to make very competitive teams for weekend league, meaning that you're going to see the higher end guys going for uber expensive prices. So I don't think you're going to see the likes of Ronaldo, Messi, and Suarez going for anything that's, you know, like anything close to 500k. But I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a very steep drop off after you get sort of away from those super elite players. I think there's going to be a very small sort of middle class, if you will, of players. Someone like Casemiro pops to mind as a quote-unquote middle-class card. And then going down, you can have someone like, I don't know, like Marcus Alonso is something that sticks out in my mind as someone that could fall to just around 300 to 600K, I think is going to be the average price of a team of season card that's going to be somewhat competitive. Weekend League is either in a competitive league like the Premier League, the Bundesliga, Casio A, or La Liga. I think you could sort of count that 300 to 600K range as the average sort of going price of someone that's competitive and can slot into their average team. And then maybe down to like 200 to 300K for someone that's on like on the bench or something like that, or is not going to be featured in like the hyped up, you know, squad builders and reviews and stuff like that.
But would still be an effective player, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
And you should still see, I think, plenty of players in the lower end, like 50K to 100K. I suspect there might be some kind of like guaranteed team of the season pack, maybe, and that could cause the very lower end players to end up being quite cheap just because they're constantly coming out. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how the dynamics will work. I guess it's in EA's slight favor to make sure these players are expensive. That means people are going to have to open packs and things like that. So it'd be interesting to see. But at the same time, they won't want to price everyone out of players because, you know, and the market dictates value ultimately.
Right.
Interesting stuff. We'll only have to wait and see in a way. But I think that's a very good point on the price there. And the other question he asked, have either of us got any hidden gems that for Team of the Season that we're looking forward to using?
Well, actually, going back to what I was saying before, Marcus Alonso is someone that if he does get a team of the season, I'm like very much so looking forward to slotting into my BBL side. I don't know, for those of you that saw on Twitter, I sort of made a mock-up of my ideal team, and he was sitting in there alongside of Van Dijk. Him, Van Dijk, and then regular Smalling, and hopefully, I'm hoping that team of the season Walker is it becomes a reality, is going to be my back line. I think that'd be pretty darn solid.
That'd be really strong.
How about you? Do you have one?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. One that I'm kind of interested to try, although I don't know how he fits in my team, is Team of the Season Danilo Pereira. So he's in the Team of the Season most consistent, and I think eventually he'll be really cheap. But he has like almost Vieira-like stats, similar work rate, similar height, strength as well. I think his stats will probably end up being very similar, slightly slower, maybe slightly stronger. And slightly better passer with his Team of the Season card. So yeah, he looks like an interesting player, one I'd like to try, although again difficult to fit into a team, as I was just saying. And then another player that I'm hoping gets a card but I'm not really that sure is Manuel Fernandes, who I've discussed in previous weeks. He's the Portuguese central midfielder who plays for, can't remember what Russian league team he plays for, but yeah, he's really, really good, but just lacks a bit of stamina. Currently, I'd say he's one of the best midfielders that I've used in terms of having four-star skills. He's very box-to-box, but he doesn't have the stamina to kind of back it up. He's only 82 stamina, and for like a box-to-box player with four-star skills, you want that kind of stamina. So Team of the Season is going to be quite good, for, I think, for boosting quite a few players' stamina, which is kind of much needed for weekend league, basically.
Right, exactly.
Cool. So moving on to, I think, something we kind of missed in the first section. Player of the Month is actually very much upon us, which is just feels strange considering everything that's happening. But that steamroller of content.
Right, yeah. So Player of the Month, voting is going to finish up on, we're recording this on Sunday, so it's going to finish up tomorrow, Monday, May 8th. The fan voting is going to finish up, meaning that the following Friday, on Friday, May 12th, is when the SBC and the announcement of the winner is going to drop. We have the tentative final results of the fan voting. It looks like Sun is running away with the fan voting. He's got something like 46% of the fan vote, with the next closest being, I think it was Bailly, and Hazard tied for second at 16%. So really no competition on the fan vote. That doesn't surprise me, being that I think the majority of the people that are going over and clicking that link on EA's Twitter are looking for someone that they can use in their weekend league sides. And, you know, someone that's very popular is obviously Sun. But in terms of who's going to win, I mean, obviously the fan vote only counts for 10% of the final vote. I do think that Sun and Benteke are still the front runners here. But as I've said on my Twitter, and I've been talking with you about it, I think that Eriksen is still sort of an outside shot, but has a really good chance, just because of the sort of crucial role that he's played in Spurs' sort of title battle, if you could call it that, even though it's sort of out of the question now. But I think that he really does have a great outside chance. In terms of people that, you know, if you're looking to do investments, this really is a very underinvested player of the month. Some of the typical sort of like inform investings from the BPL, picking up players that are from the countries of the players that you think are going to win. Again, I'm sort of the opinion that Eriksen and Son are the two real front runners here. So you can pick up North Korean and Danish players if you guys agree with my sort of prediction here. And then it's just sort of the run-of-the-mill 84, like 86 kind of pickups are, I think, not the best things to look at here, just because those, a lot of them are very high priced already because of the 84 plus SBC guaranteeing the team of the week card. So I would sort of stay away from that. In general, honestly, I think there are better ways that you can be investing and spending your coins at this point in the year. There's a very good chance that whoever gets the player of the month card is probably going just to turn around and get a team of the season card. Son is someone who's more on the fence, but Eriksen, I think, has a pretty good chance of getting a team of the season card. So honestly, I would just kind of stay away from investing unless you already have them in the club. So,
yeah, that's true. And I think it's one of those things as well that it's quite a there's quite a lot of players who could get it.
Right.
So you know, if you're trying to pick out specific players to invest in, it's going to be difficult. And also selling into the hype, if you like, is going to be difficult because there isn't really hype for any particular player. So it's generally more high risk and maybe, as you say, not really worth it at this stage. So a very good point indeed. And yeah, anyway, I think that's enough speculation about potential special items, because we've got a whole team of special items that's come out this week. Well, actually, it was a little while ago now, obviously, the particularly late podcast this week to catch that team of the season wave as it starts to emerge from the sea of foot. We've got a very interesting team of the week. It's kind of interesting in the sense that there are some real kind of stinkers in there. Players who you're probably never going to use. You might submit for an SBC, or you might shed a tear as you see them emerge from a pack. I don't know who you kind of think is more interesting. I know there's a player you wanted to pick out who you thought was particularly bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some good players in this team of the week, but one of the more statistically enticing players this week was Thauvin. A lot of people really hyped him up. 88 rated, French right wing, 87 pace, 91 shot, 90 passing, 91 dribbling, and 83 physical. You'd think he's got all the ingredients to make a really, really solid weekend caliber sort of player, but unfortunately, I've heard that he's atrocious, like really, really bad. to the point where, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with him, but Marshall, who does a lot of player reviews on YouTube, sort of the guy, if you will, for player reviews, said that it was one of his least favorite players he's used all year. And he's certainly used a lot of players and reviewed a lot of players. He said that he was essentially just useless because he would play like right wing back pretty much the entire game. And he was basically never in position. And then he said his 59 composure, he thinks, contributed to him being terrible in front of goal and then just really just all around just kind of crappy. So...
I mean, the other thing is he doesn't have the best balance at 78 for a winger, which may be part of the reason. But yeah, it's kind of interesting how some players just really don't perform. But I do think composure is quite a big factor, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of a bummer, considering how good he would have been.
Yeah, yeah. He does look really good. I mean, the other thing to say about him is, I don't know, he's one of the cheaper 88 rated informs. So if people are interested in, for some reason, investing in an 88 rated inform, he might be your man. In terms of other high-rated cards in this team of the week, we've also got Diego Costa, very good player and one that I've never really used, but might interest some people. Actually, probably Spain's best holding midfielder, according to the majority of foot players. But Rodriguez is another player who could actually be very good. I mean, he is a very good sort of standard gold player, and this inform, yeah, very, very nice. I'd probably look at trying to use him. Weak foot could be an issue, but stats probably make up for it. He's also not the most agile, which always slightly puts me off, but he is quite strong, which, I don't know, swings and roundabouts, I suppose. You've also got Andre Gomez, another higher rated La Liga player, but he's a right mid, which has slightly ruined him, especially as Barcelona are really lacking a good physical presence in midfield, who doesn't have a leg missing in Sergio Busquets. But yeah, other than that, you've got a guy who has joined the Hullet gang, Emre Can, Liverpool player, of course, and German, so an excellent card to use for hybrids, and also for just the fact that everyone has a Premier League team, so he's really easy to fit in. And I mean, he's one of those players that for, and he's about 200k, he's not going to get a team of the season. He looks one of the better Premier League midfielders. I mean, obviously you've got players like Ali who are probably similar in kind of role in a team, but he does look, I mean, really strong, and would be an interesting card to try out, I think.
A quick tangent. Sorry, a quick tangent just about players that aren't going to get a team of the season card. We probably should have mentioned this in the market section, but players that aren't going to get a team of the season card but are in like super high demand, there's a potential that they could be one of the first to rebound, and the ones that rebound the hardest when you know, the daily knockout tournament comes around and people are looking to build their squads. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think certainly you could see a few players. I mean, a player I'd be quite interested in knowing the price of over the next couple of weeks, because I think despite him being a team of the season candidate, he may well rise, because if you look at Koulibaly, 87 rated centre back for Napoli, his stats are just outstanding. 79 pace, 92 defending, 92 physical. He's got basically maxed out strength without any chem boosts. And with Shadow has maxed out defense, and also I think around 90 pace with Shadow. I mean, definitely average 90 pace, of course, and 75 dribbling as well, which is outstanding on a guy who's like 6'5". And he actually has 99 reactions, which is very underrated for getting your clearances in. I mean, he's a player we've talked about before, a quality player, and the kind of player that you can't believe he's under 60k. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, I don't know, but it's just maybe there's just so many on the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's obviously getting to the point where you just sort of have to wonder, like, is a player like that really going to get any better from team of the season? Is it going to be worth paying the, you know, he's definitely going to be a player that's going to be hyped just because of how crazy his stats are going to be on his team of the season card. So he's going to be pretty expensive. So you have to wonder if, you know, some people are going to go, hey, well, I might as well just get this inform card because he's basically the same thing defending-wise. Unless I'm going to play him at CDM, I don't really need the team of the season card.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the other thing is that he's a player who is going to perform really well. So why not spend your coins elsewhere? You know, buy that inform.
Yeah, exactly.
Spend your coins elsewhere. And yeah, another player who actually will probably perform very well in game is Consigli. He's actually a really solid keeper. We've mentioned him recently when he got his 84 rated in form. He's got 90 he's got 90 diving and 90 reflexes, 89 handling, 89 positioning, and just performs quite well. And he's 24k, which is pretty good for an 86 rated card. That's on Xbox. And then Bastos is another investment possibility. I'd say Etu, also probably more of an investment possibility because he's got a better foot birthday card, so isn't that exciting. Although, weren't you pointing out his shooting is actually higher than his foot birthday card?
Which is kind of silly, since the like upgrade that they did for foot birthday isn't like considered with the upgrade sequence that they've had for foot 17, but that's rather amusing.
Yeah. And the Horn as well, aka Timo Horn, he's probably one of my least favorite players because I keep getting him in packs, and that means that despite that I definitely won't pack him because that's just the way things work. Ricardo Pereira, obviously a right mid and would have been great as a right back, Portuguese and plays for Nice. I think, you know, if you're going to switch in game, he could be a great player. He's really good, but the problem is he has under 80 stamina, which on a right back or right mid is pretty criminal. Potential for team of the season though, so that's going to be quite interesting when if he gets a good stamina boost. I think that's one of the things I'm looking forward to actually with team of the season, is a couple of players getting a substantial stamina boost. And then moving on, we've just got a couple of players that everyone will get in their monthly rewards. David Juncker, Altentop, Dirar, Bergstaller. Actually, Bergstaller looks quite interesting because he's got 5-star weak foot and 3-star skills, and he with sniper gets like I think sort of 90 finishing, something like 97 finishing, something like 90 agility, really good ball control and dribbling, and then also has just a really good physical presence as well. So it could be someone worth trying, but I don't think he's gonna really set it alight in the weekend league.
Yeah, I guess one other player before we move on is Gamero, 87 rated striker from Atletico. Pretty decent as a striker, but I think even better as a cam. He's got pretty good passing and shooting stats and not bad long shots. So, Anderson.
Yeah, he does look quite interesting. He's one of those players that's kind of horrible to play against. He always kind of slips past you, doesn't he? And the final player I'd just like to give a shout out to is Ruidas, the silver, I think it's Monarcas Morella. apologies to any Mexicans out there if I've butchered the name of your team. But yeah, it looks really good. 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot. Little guy at 5'6", but has 87 agility and 86 balance, so should feel fairly good on the ball. 77 ball control and 80 dribbling is very good for a silver. Kind of in the 70s on passing, which is, again, good for a silver. And then where he really shines is with Hunter. He's an 84-rated striker with 97 acceleration, 96 sprint speed, 98 positioning, 89 finishing, 95 shot power and 87 long shots. 83 volleys as well and 88 penalties, so looks really, really good, and someone I'd be really interested to try out, and maybe one that you might give a go in your weekend league or daily knockout sides, although I'm not sure what other gold players you get in around him, but he could be one in, maybe for the bench
just
or something.
Your Peruvian national side.
Yeah, actually there are some decent Peruvian players, but there are very few special items. In fact, he's their second
really?
Special item.
Interesting.
The other being the bronze 5-star skiller, Flores.
See, those are the sort of fun facts. You come to listen to the Foot Weekly Pod for. That's the...
Exactly. I'll give you that fiver later. But yeah, moving swiftly on from me being praised for coming up with good stats, I think your own review of a player. I think he's a certain midfield presence from La Liga.
Yeah. So the player I'm going to look at this week is going to be the 88-rated team of the knockout stage, Casemiro. He is, I think, a very underrated player. He first came onto the radar back in, I think it was team of the, or maybe it was FUT Birthday, or it was one of those where we had to use a Liga Santander team for the weekend league requirements. And a lot of people had to, you know, sort of figure out a CDM for their weekend league teams, and they used his man the match item, his 86. He sort of burst onto the scene there, became very popular, and since then he's gotten two more special cards. And he's a player that I've been using a lot in FUT Draft recently. He always seems to pop up in my FUT Drafts. And he's exceptional. He's really, really outstanding. The one sort of thing that people sort of hesitate about before buying him is his 67 pace. But I can tell you that I don't know why, but maybe it's because he's 6 foot and his long strides sort of eat up the ground as he's running along. That's not really a problem. He's quick enough, and maybe it's just that he's always in the right position, but I really did not find that 67 pace to be much of a problem. He's also got incredible stats going off of his pace. He's got 94 aggression, 88 strength, 92 stamina, 94 jumping, which is really helpful for winning goal kicks, especially since he's 6 foot. Obviously, he's got great defending stats, 96 standing tackle, 91 slide tackle. He's also got really good shot power and long shot. So if you ever get in a position to take a long shot with him, you can use that 99 shot power and 94 long shots to your advantage. Not to mention the fact that he's relatively cheap. So definitely someone to look out for. He's also got medium work rate, so he'll hold that position well for you. So as someone that's got a team of the season contender, I'm really looking forward to using his team of the season card, since that boost on his pace is going to be pretty substantial and sort of patch up.
And also his defending, sort of without any boosts, is really outstanding,
right.
Isn't
yeah.
it? So maybe you'll be able to afford to put like engine on him or something, which should just make him that much more
exactly.
kind of mobile.
Yeah, for sure.
So in terms of my sort of review this week, my player of the week is actually going to be a player I managed to pack in my monthlies. I got elite the last month, not this most recent month, and it was honestly like one of the worst monthlies I'd had, I think. I got like no usable players. The best one I got was David Villa, and he's obviously very difficult to get into a team. I got nobody above 86. However, this time things were quite different. I got a walkout. I got Hamsik, and he's obviously an 88 rated player. And then I also got Quincy Promes, who's obviously very good. PSG's Blaise Matuidi, who's, I mean, worth quite a lot as well. So a combined sort of value of those players was in excess of like, I think, 400k. I think I got another quite useful player who's just totally slipped my mind. Oh yeah, Jarstein, who is starting to complete my untradeable goalkeeper selection, because I just have almost a page of untradeable special goalkeepers at the moment. But yeah, so the player I was going to talk about from that is Hamsik, because he's not a player that I would have picked up previously, just because, I mean, I always thought of him as a very attacking player. He's not got 4-star skills, and he's not the most agile. But what I did was actually put him in central midfield and put Anker on him. And he was actually really, really outstanding. If I go through his stats with Anker, you'd be surprised at the quality of his defending with Anker, actually. 85 interceptions and 91 standing tackle. 76 marking as well, 76 sliding tackle. And then you've got 92 strength as well to go with that. 95 jumping, a guy who's 6 foot as well. 76 aggression is decent. 77 composure is quite solid as well. So you combine that with having 87 acceleration, 85 sprint speed, great ball control and dribbling, well into the 90s, great reactions, good agility, not great balance. But the fact he's got, as default, 89 finishing, 86 shot power and 90 long shots, as well as 90 volleys as well. And with that 95 positioning, he really kind of is a great attacking threat and can drive the team forward as well. He's actually really well-rounded. I was noticing his stats, his rating per position with Anker, he'd actually be an 87 rated centre back.
Wow.
And a player who doesn't get below 87 in any position and goes up to a 92 cam even with Anker.
That's not half bad.
He's a really good, well-rounded player, a kind of box-to-box player who I wouldn't typically use. And I'm not sure whether I'd pay 160k for him. It's quite a lot. But then if you try him and you like him, he's a player that you might kind of keep in your team, and you might consider buying that team of the season, which will come out very soon. And that will be a really, really well-rounded card. And possibly in the Hullet gang as well, you could be looking at 80-plus on all card stats for him. So that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye out for.
Great. So when we next speak, I think it will probably be time for to talk through some Team of the Season players and see how things have gone down after Team of the Season's release. But for now, I think all that's left to say is have a good week waiting for it to merge.
It's going to be a long couple of days of waiting. But as always, Ben, it's been enjoyable. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for coming. And we'll look forward to speaking to you soon. That might be the end of the podcast, but the discussion doesn't end there. Tweet us at FootWeeklyPod.